February meeting, February 2025 meeting of Fox County Home Court. If I could, please ask you to stand while Justice Terry Coates gives our invocation to the pledge of allegiance.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight and ask that you be with each person and family represented here. We ask that you give each of us wisdom and knowledge and patience as we work through our business tonight. Lord, I also ask that you be with Randy and Verna in their time of being unwell. I also ask that you be with our first responders, our firefighters, and our police officers as they travel through and do their jobs and keep them safe, dear Lord. We ask all of these things in your holy name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Roll call, please.
Allison.
Here.
Coates.
Present.
Hendricks.
Here.
Knight.
Here.
Losky.
Here.
Lyon.
Here.
Geek.
Here.
Moss. Pearson.
Here.
Shaw.
Here.
Strain.
Here.
Tyler.
Here.
Morgan.
Here.
And we do have a quorum, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, Justice, tab number one, approval of the journal. What is your pleasure?
Motion to approve the journal.
Second.
Right, motion second. Are there any additions or changes? I did notice that it shows that Justice Cooper gave the indication of pledge, and I believe it was Justice Knight. So I entertain a motion to move that. So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Will be amended. Any other additions or changes? All right. All in favor as amended, indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The minutes will be approved. The journal is approved as amended. Next, we have the county officer's report. You'll turn to tab number two. We'll start with our county clerk. I believe she has a word or two to say.
I generally don't give a report. My financial report's always in the book, but I did want to give y'all a report regarding what my office does, especially since bringing on passports. For the year of 2024, we did 1,000 passports that brought in an additional $35,000. And $25,000 plus maybe a little bit more of that would have been all net, and it cost us about $10 to mail the passports in. Sometimes we can get more passports in, so $25,000 may be a little low for the net. And we brought in about $2,000 for passport photos, and we'll continue to do that. We also did 115 small estates, 120 assumed business names, and we get 1,073 marriage licenses. So just kind of want to give y'all an update, especially on passports, because that's still kind of new for us, and the difference that makes in additional money to help run the county clerk's office.
Any questions or comments for our county clerk? Thank you for that report. Appreciate what you guys do, what the public does as well. So thank you for all that. Next, the treasurer's report. Our treasurer, Scott Sands.
Thank you, Judge. If you'll turn with me to the summary statement for Home Court, January 1st, 2025 to January 31st, 2025. County General Fund, $3,982,697.61. County Roads Fund, $2,007,396,315.20. County Road Sales Tax Fund, $3,708,645.11. Animal Welfare Control Fund, 3404, $1,636,887.55. Criminal Justice Sales Tax Fund, 3407, $1,095,513.02. Coroner Bosch Relief Fund, 1005, $973,407.93. American Rescue Plan, 3046, $4,037,087.83. ARP Revenue Replacement, 1106. $8,659,224.62. If you flip with me, page two is not there. It's the County General Revenue Chart. It only has one data point. There's nothing really to see this month. You will see that again next month. What's normally page 3 is currently page 2. Sales tax, $1,175,531.54. That is down 24.26% below January of 2024. If you remember January of 2024, we had the anomaly of sales tax of about $400,000 more really from what it should have been. We'll look at that again here in the chart on the last page. But so page 4 is once again projected revenue is $14.3 million. We just have one data point currently for January. And the last page, this is our sales tax revenue. You can see the kind of the plateau of the red line there. That's the one-year moving average, and you see how it really dipped down. That's because the data point from January 24 come off. Okay, we know that was an anomaly. We've known it for a year. We expected to see this. So the it's a real big downturn with 1 year moving average. Not concerned about it at all. We knew that it was coming.
Very good. Glad you say that.
Are there any questions? Any questions for the treasurer? Thanks so much for the report, and we appreciate you staying on top of that and helping us to stay grounded with what we're seeing with our management data. So thank you for that. Also, I'll say that I asked Mr. Sanson today what he was thinking in terms of inflation, what he was seeing, what he was hearing, and I know he looks at that, as he told me, at least every couple of months or so. And would you like to address that?
I don't know if I'll really look fully in depth with it. I've not looked at the numbers since we created the budget, so our end of the year when we're in the budget process. So we'll look at the numbers again probably next month in March to kind of see. But what we were seeing at the end of last year, and I think last year we finished with like 2.46 or 2.86 or something like that. Inflation's coming back to around the 2% level, we think. So I think it changed. That's what we're seeing right now.
All right.
But if I'll perform on that next month, I'll have better numbers for you.
Thank you so much. We'll be looking forward to that. And understand it's really early in the year, but we do want to keep our eye on that throughout the year. Next, we have the Sheriff's Report. I see Chief Deputy Willie with us today. And actually, while he walks up to the mic, I'd like to recognize our elected official visitors tonight. I see our prosecuting attorney. How are you doing?
I'm great.
All right, Carol Cruz. And then I see Judge Chuck Clausen is here. And Julian is with him. Thank you, guys. And I see our coroner, Jessica. I see, extensions here. We just appreciate all you guys. And I know we're here from Mary Beth and Kevin today, I think, right?
So.
Mainly Kevin Lawson. So thank you guys for coming. All right, Chief.
Good evening. For January 2025, looks like our average head count at Unit 1 was 175. Our males at Unit 2 was 146, females 78, and 9 juveniles here at Unit 1. We had 357 intakes, 344 releases. Looks like we did pretty good on our ADC in January for 31. A lot better than it has been in the months past. Total number of calls to FCSO was 1,573. Of that, 78 violent crimes and domestics, 45 thefts, criminal mischiefs, 56 animal calls. Looks like there's 2 animal citations, 1 warning, and our reserve unit put in 485 hours. Our criminal investigation division looks like they opened up 34 cases, they closed 15, and our transport unit looks like they made 24 total trips, and you can see the mileage and the cost there. That's all I got, Judge, unless you have any questions.
Any questions for the Chief? Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Next, we have the ARP and Road Report. ARP Road Administrator Tom Anderson. I think Tom will also have a County Administrator's Report, a little bit of a report from Randy Higgins, who's not able to be with us tonight.
That's correct, and I'm going to incorporate some of that into the ARP report. If you'll turn to page 5 of the ARP report. Fauquier County Courthouse building. On that project, a pre-construction walkthrough was conducted today so that there can be coordination for the work schedule throughout the building. The project is anticipated to start in March, which is next week. I don't know that it will start next week, but March comes next week. Also, the Faulkner County Animal Shelter. You can see we haven't spent much since the last report there. However, the paving is supposed to start tomorrow and finish up Thursday in the parking lot. Next week, first of the week, we're going to have the paving striping contractor show up and measure the parking lot to pave it. To stripe it next week. So hopefully by the end of the next week, we'll have all the paving and striping done on the animal shelter. If you will continue turning to the next page, Wooster Wastewater. They are still having expenses coming through for their building, their operations building. Mayflower Wastewater, we got our first request from them, and this is mostly engineering for them. And those are the highlights of the ARP report, subject to any questions on that section of my report.
Any questions?
Before I move to the road report, there is an update on the jail expansion. They're continuing with the architecture design. They're 100% complete with the conceptual design and about 50% complete with the schematic design phase. There's been some engineering work on site to determine sewer and placements of utilities. If you'll look on the road, as you know, we had a weather event last week. We started Monday. We brought people in on the holiday, started our pre-treating on several roads. If you'll look at the top section report, we covered intersections and or entire roads of 123 throughout the county. We put out 8,000 gallons of salt brine. And that was, we ended that right before the snow got here on Tuesday. We tried to time it so that we didn't let it sit too long and the cars, traffic, blow it off and dissipate it. So I felt pretty good about our timing there. Once the snow started, we plowed 135 roads. And the salt and sand, we put out some before the snow started. We also put out quite a bit after the snow started to help melt it and give traction to dangerous intersections and roads. But altogether, we put out 140 tons of sand, 90 tons of salt, and then 8,000 pounds of calcium chloride. We ended up our operations on Friday. We were about out of salt and sand by that point, but we were able to go get some Friday to have enough to finish up late in the day. So with that, Judge, I was again proud of our force out at the road shop. They did a good job. We had 24-hour operations, started at midnight, ended at noon, and started at noon, ended at midnight with the two shifts. And we worked pretty hard, so I was impressed with their operation out there. Subject to that, that concludes my report if there's no questions.
Any questions for ARP or Road Administrator John Anderson? I want to publicly thank you. I know you thank the crews. I want to thank them for the work that they did. I know our justices probably had to hear the same thing I did, and they were just profound thanks. The public continues to see their efforts. I think the efforts to continuously improve is evident. Certainly that's your mantra, and I appreciate that. Certainly any challenges that I give you and your leadership team out there, you're willing to take on. I appreciate it. I hope it is evident to all the public, but they enjoy the challenge. They really do. We call off the dogs, so to speak, when they start to get that 1,000-yard stare, 12 hours continuous, day after day, two shifts of 12 hours. And we're careful, when I say we, Tom, Lance, Scott, and myself, you have to look out for their safety because they're generally not going to tell you they're too tired to go. But I want to let our court know that we're going to stop short of that, and it's something we actively manage. And, you know, our public is pretty understanding of that. You know, they understand we can't do all roads at once. And so really appreciate it. You know, you didn't mention the digitization of the tracking of progress. I'll dangle that out there in Justice Lyon. We'll probably be interested in that, given his profession. But I really challenged you all to do that. You guys, you know, they put trackers in the, you know, the plows and the pre-treat trucks, and they were tracking progress and used that decision support data to make those decisions on the fly. I really appreciate that. It's a good-looking program, and it continues to, you know, really amaze me, and I'm so thankful for your efforts and everybody out there. Thank you for that. Any questions?
Not really a question. I just want to applaud the judge's office and Tom. At our Roads and Infrastructure Subcommittee, we talked about the winter storms, and I asked about on Facebook or any of the social medias to update the public on road closures. And second day, there were plenty of posts on it. I think it was getting a lot of action from the public, so I really appreciate taking that idea and running with it. So, good job.
Thank you. Thanks for that comment. Anything else? All right, moving along on our agenda, we have public comments, a standard place on our agenda, whereby the public can make comments on anything before the court today. Anything from the public? There you go. Sure. If you want to step forward and identify yourself.
Yeah, Ryan Eckel, part of District 12. Noticed on our annual, our monthly water statement that we've got a notification of non-compliance with the Worcester Water Department, and know who this is related to disinfectant byproducts, and talked to the Department of Health, and they said it's related to deadlines that are in the system. And so didn't know if there were any additional allocation of ARP funds or anything that could help support getting that infrastructure updated to where it was back into compliance.
All right, I'll take this. That's, first of all, it's not an item on our agenda tonight. If you would like to address that issue, feel free to contact my office or JP, certainly.
All right.
In terms of ARP, that money is already been spoken for and allocated, yeah. So, but feel free to reach out. Any comments by the JPs? At this point, it would be unfair to ask them to comment on something, you know, wholly unprepared to discuss here.
Okay.
In open.
What's the best form for doing that? Because this is the first meeting I've been to.
You bet. You can call my office. My telephone number at our office is 501-450-4939, I believe. 4900.
Okay.
Sorry for whoever has 4939. Have at it. Call after hours.
All right.
You can call my cell phone, 501-472-9564. That's any better.
Excellent. And then just wanted to commend, like I said, the road department. Thanks for all the hard work keeping the roads clear.
Thanks so much.
Yep.
They deserve it.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thanks, Mr. Eckel. Any other comment? Yeah, go ahead.
Not District 12, but Worcester Water affects me, butt up against each other. So if you want to just email me, or my cell phone number is posted publicly on our website, you're welcome to text or call me.
I am District 12. I'll talk to you afterwards.
All right, yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much, and thanks for coming.
Yep.
And honestly, my running a pretty tight ship with regard to public comments doesn't have anything to do with your comment. It's quite a slippery slope if you've ever seen public meetings, and I have committed that I'm not going to allow their time to be abused by others. And again, it doesn't have anything to do with you or the comment that you brought. There are other meetings elsewhere in other bodies where it gets out of control, and we're just not going to allow that here. So,
fully support that. Thank you,
and I'll be around after the meeting.
Yeah.
All right, moving along, special reports. I see that our prosecuting attorney, Carol Cruz, has got a hot check report. Is that true?
Yes, sir, it is. Thank you
for coming.
Yes, thanks for having me. This is our annual hot check report. So this is a requirement from legislative audit. These are fees that we collect as part of our hot check cases, so it's not anything to do with county money. But for transparency purposes, they have us run it in front of the court. What we've done here is just put it in different categories to show you kind of how we spend it. So we use this money to offset different expenses we have, so less money we have to ask for from the county. to do things like order certified prior convictions from other counties in cases, maybe order transcripts from the court reporters in cases, stuff like CLEs, continuing legal education for our attorneys, and some different, we purchase visual equipment for trials and things like that. So just kind of miscellaneous things that we use it for. But it's a breakdown of how that's used. It's a requirement we do every year, and certainly can answer any questions if you have any questions about that.
Thank you so much. Any questions for Carol, Ms. Groves, our prosecutor attorney? Justice Yuri?
Well, I just had a question for either of you. Is this report in our binder?
I did not put the binders together, but I do not see it.
I believe it's on the webpage, but if it's not, I will get it from Carol and send it out to y'all. But I believe it's on the webpage.
Thank you.
I think it is. That's how I printed it out.
Okay, so it's on the webpage.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you for compiling that and taking the time to come and address the court. Appreciate that. Any other questions? Thank you. Very good. Next, we have Kevin Lawson. He is here. Of course, we see Mary Beth Gross. Kevin does a fabulous job. I'm a huge fan of yours, Kevin. Your weekly reports, I pour through, and I have no row crops myself. My family does. But I enjoy reading the row crops and livestock report weather, everything from the river flow and all that. It's obviously a lot of work, and I appreciate it.
Well, appreciate that. Thank you, Judge. Yeah, like I said, my name is Kevin Lawson. For the JPs I haven't met yet, I am the one that sends you an email every Friday reporting what's going on out there. I put that together a few years ago to just kind of, it was an informal way of keeping our producers updated with what was going on, and I included y'all just so you kind of know what's going on out there in the county agriculture-wise. In that report, I am just responsible for row crops and livestock and forages, so mainly that's what I write about in there every week, letting producers know when we have meetings and things like that, and our pesticide applicator trainings and stuff like that. One of the main ways that I educate producers in Faulkner County is through demonstrations. And that's kind of the whole backbone of extension is, you know, we can tell a producer what to do, but if you actually show a producer on their farm that it works, and then bring in other producers and show them, look what happened on this person's farm, it's really stronger. And that's the whole backbone of this demonstration report. So every year, me and Krista Quinn, who is the horticulture agent, I put together several demonstrations. Some of them I have planned up front. Some of them just happen all of a sudden. You never know what's going to happen during the year. And then I put this report together every year to give to producers. You know, there's some things in here like on row crop side, on our corn and soybeans, we'll plant different varieties on their farm. That way they can see what varieties do best, you know, down at Lolly Bottoms. Some of it may be fertility on forage. You know, what's the best nitrogen rates to be putting out on your forage, things like that's the stuff that's in here. So I just wanted to give you all a copy of that. It comes out I usually get it done around January every year. Also in the front, there is a loose paper. That's actually an infographic on our Faulkner County Master Gardener Program. Krista asked me to include that in this report to y'all. But I just wanted to come before you, let you know what we've been doing at the Extension Office. We had several demonstrations also in there. We listed all of our educational meetings that we had for producers. We had several production meetings. We had a grazing field day with Perry County that helped producers get their NRCS credits for the EQIP program, things like that, and lots of PAT trainings. So, anybody got any questions?
Any questions for Mr. Lawson?
Anytime y'all want to see any of these demos or you have questions, please email me. When I email you the report, y'all got my email. So.
Kevin, I would ask, is this available to the public?
Yes.
Do you have these available?
So this has been put on social media, on my social media site. It's on our webpage. I have a newsletter section on our webpage that has all of the weekly reports is on there, and this document is on there. So it's available to anybody that wants to see it.
You know what? Just a bit of commentary here. You know, we may not have a single row crop farmer or cattle farmer on our court. I don't know. Anybody got cattle? Anybody's family have any row crops? My family comes from a legacy family of row croppers and cattle farmers. And so this is close to me personally, but I would say You know, we as Faulkner County government, you know, the agricultural heritage that we have here, it touches each one of us and our family, and we drive through the countryside in this beautiful county. There is so much history here in our county that was driven by the agricultural culture, and it's our heritage. And though we don't have as many acres of row crop as we did 50 years ago, or we had a cattle, I still resent that we lost our sale barn. You know, it's still Faulkner County. And if you want to feel closer to your heritage, read through some of these reports or others that are available on the Extension website. And, you know, you can put your big, you know, big farmer britches on and think, boy, I can talk this lingo because it's just rich with it. And I see stuff that I'm like, wow, I had no idea of and I grew up with. But it gives me a great deal of pride to see these activities in our county and to know that many of us know personally world-class agricultural operations right here, from dairy to row crops to just the way our extension is and the respect that you all have across not only Arkansas and the River Valley, but the country. You know, you may not have ever hoed cotton, or you may not have ever milked a cow, or gone and worked yearlings, or you know, had to get the cows out in the middle of a storm, or get the cows back in the middle of a storm after midnight for fear that somebody would run over and kill your livestock or get killed themselves. But it's everywhere around us, and it will continue to be. I just appreciate so much what y'all do.
Thank you.
Thank you for that. Any other questions for Kevin or any comments? I look forward to looking through the rest of that report and the infographic there from Master Gardeners. Yes, Justice Pearson?
Yeah, thank you, Kevin, for attending, for sharing the report. I just have a question about some of the trials that you conduct, like the pre-emergence and the herbicide applications.
Yeah.
Do you test for things like the effect that they have on organic matter over time?
No, because we don't have much organic matter in our soils. We don't have, that's just Arkansas soils. We're very poor in organic matter. So that's not something we test for.
What about soil structure? Do you ever look at soil structure?
Yes. Yeah, we'll look at soil structure. We'll do things like that sometimes. Cover crops. So the big thing right now is soil health and moving to cover crops, reduced tillage, that kind of stuff. So we do a lot of that.
And like some of these trials, like, so I may not be a farmer, but I do work in this world every day. I work in agriculture. And I work with small-scale farmers in my job. On some of these trials, you know, I'm just curious, you know, when I look at some of the photos and I see strips of bare ground, is that considered a success for you?
It depends. So if it is right before planting and we want that bare ground, then yes, it's a success. Mm-hmm. Or for the pictures you're looking at, I think those are from the buttercup demo we did right before the Bermuda grass comes up. So if we've got the weeds, we can't get the Bermuda grass to come up. So we want it, you know, we want to kill it all as much as we can right there before the grass comes up. So that was had foliage on it all year long to keep the water from running off. Mm-hmm. And then there's another one in there about resistant ryegrass, which is a big problem, killing ryegrass before we plant. And that's another thing, that ryegrass is there all year long, and then we try to get it as bare as we can right before planting.
Okay, and are you looking at water retention rates of the soils that you're testing?
I haven't lately, but we have done some of that before. Okay. Yep, through the cover crops.
I respect all forms of agriculture, mm-hmm. But I do get concerned when what's being promulgated and shared widely is consistent, persistent, heavy use of herbicides mm-hmm. is the only solution. You know,
yeah.
you mentioned things like cover crop rotation, mm-hmm. High-density grazing options, mm-hmm. solutions like that. What is your office doing to share knowledge on those fronts?
So every year, at the beginning of the year, we bring in producers. And so this is the beauty of extension. We're grassroots. We're at the bottom up. And I ask those producers, what do you want me to work on this year? And if that's something that they want to look at, then that's where some of these demos come from. But you know, resistant ryegrass, the buttercup stuff, that's what those producers are wanting to see from us.
And they're, what's the organization of that? How's that formed?
They're just my ag committee, so they're mostly producers that I work with or producers in the county.
And so they're suggesting what types of trials they'd like to see.
Yep. Okay. Yep. These all come from them on what demos they want to see done.
Okay.
Now, what we'll do this year, I'm hoping, I can't, this is all in the beginning stages, so I don't know if I should even say it, but we're looking to become, have a discovery farm here in our county. Mm-hmm. And if you go to the University of Arkansas website and look at our extensions website and look up discovery farms, it is those farms are looking at retention of water, water quality coming off of farms, what's coming off, you know, those kind of things. Uh-huh. They've been very successful on row crop farms, several row crop farms have went to livestock farms. We could have the opportunity to have one of those on a hayfield this year. Yeah. And start our own discovery farm, which would cover a lot of what you're talking about.
Well, it'd be good to see, and I think it'd be good for other local farmers to see, because as you know, heavy and persistent application of pre-emergence herbicides destroys soil health and reduce organic matter over time, which increases erosion, which destroys our livelihoods, you know, as not just eaters and farmers, but as everybody. We all rely on the soil to thrive.
Yeah.
And so I just, you know, I really hope that you are taking that seriously and really looking at, you know, forms of agriculture that don't destroy organic matter in our soils, and promoting that to other farmers as options. I just don't see enough of that coming out of Extension, but I hope that it can be there in the future. And I'd love to help be a part of that however it's possible. But I just get some concerned when that's all I see being you know, shared and tested, because it may have a good short-term effect, but over the long term, it destroys our livelihoods.
Right.
And I'm really concerned about that.
Yeah. Well, the cover crop stuff, we've done a lot of that in Conway. I work a lot with Conway County and Yale County and Polk County. Also, we kind of are the River Valley agents. We don't have a lot of row crops in the River Valley, so we all kind of work together. They've done a lot on the cover crops in Conway County. So that is something that we've looked at. I mean, that's something that producers, it's all going to depend on if the producer wants to do it or not. But those producers, you know, they don't let their soil erode.
And
they're really good about keeping it because it's their livelihood.
Sure, but in my experience working with farmers and educating farmers, that's what I do 9 to 5, is a lot of times people don't know what they don't see or have exposure to.
Right.
And if we can expose people to these methods of farming that increase organic matter, and actually reduce the emergence of weeds like buttercup, because you have healthier soils and higher organic matter, which, you know, weed is a symptom of unhealthy soils. If we can do those things, then people can be exposed to them and adopt those practices more readily. I appreciate the presentation. Again, I'm not harping on your work. I just would love to see, you know, more forward-thinking forms of, you know, alternative to traditional row crop heavy application of pre-emergence and pesticides and herbicides, which, as we both know, are not long-term good things for our soil and farming county. So I'm passionate about this issue. Obviously, I appreciate your time. I'm not attacking you or the work that you've done. I just want to try to encourage us and you and your office and farmers in Farmer County to think seriously about, you know, what we're putting into our soils and what we could do differently to take better care of them.
Any other questions or comments? Mrs. Coates?
I'll change the subject just a little bit, but I want to publicly thank you for what you did over the last few weeks. My son reached out. He is adulting these days and has purchased a piece of property that had a pond on it, and it was a very top priority for him with the fish and the turtles and the plants and all the things. And obviously, I'm completely unknowledgeable about the pond situation, and so when I reached out, you took a lot of time and went out there and really helped him. And it really, it was exciting for me to see a whole new generation of citizens of Faulkner County that realized this is what our taxes pay for, this is what we do, and they were really excited to continue that relationship with you. So I appreciate it very much that you took the time to do that.
I appreciate meeting you. It's fun.
I'm a recovery farmer, 19 years. But I just want to point out that, and nothing against what Justice Pearson said, but
I know some of these producers personally, friends, former students, and it's a business, and it's about the bottom line eventually. So as much as we'd like to maybe do things differently, sometimes it's about cost effectiveness. I appreciate what you're doing, because I know these guys here, they got to make a living. They're making a living with these farms. They're not playing with them. Yeah. They're not out there trying to entertain themselves. They're making a living, and I appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, this is a tough year in eastern Arkansas. There's a lot of farmers that have went out. Row crop prices are very low, and I personally know producers in Prairie County and over there that Stuttgart, Arkansas County, that are out that I never thought would be out in my lifetime. So it is, it's tough right now. We're pretty lucky in Faulkner County with our producers, but it is tough.
Thank you for the comments. Any further questions, comments? Thank you for your time, all your work. Appreciate it. Again, of course, we know that you don't set the rules and regs for the farmers. You're there to support them, and they're pretty much directing where you should go, although I will note that you are forward-thinking in many ways. I remember the rotational stuff from years ago with livestock. Appreciate that, and I've always marveled at the rotational grazing still today. Thank you so much. All right, next on the agenda, old business. Any old business to come before the court? Moving along, new business. Tab number 3, if you'll turn to tab number 3, we have proposed ordinance 25-04. It is an appropriation ordinance. That is... Yes, just
kidding. Do you want Sandy committee reports? I think we might have missed
those. Oh, we skipped over those, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt.
No. I appreciate that. Let's circle back. Got a wayward check mark here as I keep track, so I apologize. Let's go to standing committee reports, and we'll start with Justice Knight, the Infrastructure Committee.
Thank you, Judge. Infrastructure met before the snow, and we had a meeting about how the road department took care of the last snow, but Tom did a good job presenting there, and of course, we had more snow and sleet last week, so our hats are off to the road department there. Justice Lyon brought before us two issues that we're going to address this year. One is going to be a subdivision ordinance and kind of a master plan, a road kind of prioritizing and categorizing roads within the county. So we're going to tackle that this year and hopefully give it our best shot.
Thanks so much. Any questions? Next, we move to Courts and Public Safety, Justice Mary Coates.
Thank you, Judge. Courts and Public Safety did meet this month. We gave a brief synopsis of the animal shelter update, which I think many of you have kept up with what's going on. The asphalt's being laid this week. The striping will happen next week. There's been tons of stuff going on the inside, everything from washing the laundry and getting the towels and blankets ready to setting up the software programs and systems for the donors as well as the animals that come in. The vet is working with our administrator and the employees of the shelter to do the training, get the protocols in place, as well as getting all the DEA license. And, you know, there's a lot of paperwork and work that had to go into being able to be ready for all the drugs and all that stuff to come in. So that has been going on. We also had the coroner that came and showed a little video of some updated equipment that we will be looking into a little bit later for her office. And if you guys will look in your folders, you do have an updated coroner's report that if Administrator Higgins was here, he was going to go over, and we can ask our coroner if there's any questions about it. But some of these things were updated from the report that was given in our committee meeting. So y'all are welcome to look over this, and if you have any questions, we can direct those to our coroner.
Very good. Any questions for Justice Coates? Thank you for that update. Next, we'll go to the Budget and Finance Committee report.
Thank you, Judge. We met a couple weeks ago, and we have one ordinance on the agenda for consideration tonight.
Thank you. And next, we'll go to the Personnel Committee. Justice Kendrick, thank you for pointing out my oversight.
Thank you, Judge. Personnel did meet. We considered two ordinances and forwarded those on to the full court for requesting pay changes. We also had three appointments that were forwarded to the full court as well. Thank you, Judge.
All right. Thank you. And ARP and Road Administrator Anderson points out to me that I need to bring your attention to the transferred property, I believe disposed property tab. I think you got a report.
Report tab 3.
Tab, which number?
This is the page before tab 3.
There you go.
Last page of tab 2.
We have to report that each month if we dispose of any property. And I'm not sure we meant to bring that to your attention, but here we do.
It's there, and just to let everybody know, I think the Sheriff's Office is conducting an auction for almost every one of these items. It's ongoing, will end in probably about 2 weeks. That sounds right.
Is that on your website, Sheriff? Or, sorry, Chief, but is that on a website where you get that auction?
It is on True Grit.
Okay. Okay.
I think there is a link on the website that will take you there, though.
All right, now we move to new business tab number 3, proposed ordinance 25-04. It is an appropriation ordinance. And Justice Mahosky.
Judge, I motion for the passage of ordinance 25-04.
Second. Motion second. We have a reading.
Proposed ordinance 25-04 being read by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an appropriation ordinance to amend and supplement Faulkner County Ordinance 24-52, dated November 20th, 2024, and to declare an emergency.
Okay, Justice Pulaski, would you like to give us an overview?
Yeah, thank you, Judge. Justice, section 1 and 2 of this ordinance is in reference to Judge Clausen's grant that he received. It's allocating those funds appropriately. And then section 4 on the back is about some equipment purchased for the 911 consolidation that they're wrapping up. I believe Judge Clausen's here.
Judge Clausen, would you like to make a brief comment? I didn't prepare you that I would call on you, but feel free to brief us on this.
Well, I appreciate the time. I don't really have any comments to make. Just want to thank everybody that kind of helped us get here. We've now got the money in funds ready to be spent. I think we did our first request for drawdown recently to reimburse for some of the salaries and other expenditures to kind of get this thing off the ground. We've now got that process figured out. Chief Woolley's been fantastic in helping us figure out the whole system with the websites and federal requesting and everything. And, definitely appreciate everybody else that helped out, Ms. Darter and Mr. Sanson. So we're just ready to get this thing running. Appreciate Ms. Cruz and her crew and prosecutors, because obviously we can't do this without her help. She has to approve people entry into the drug court. So, but anyway, we're just ready to get this going. It's been a long, long road. Julian Wiggins is here too. He's kind of my grant wizard and also the program director now. He's been working on this thing nonstop for the last month to really get us to where we are here today. We're hoping, we think that once we request these funds, then we'll get a turnaround from the federal government in about 48 to 72 hours, is what we're kind of hoping. But now Mr. Sanson's got those funds set up and they know right where to go. And then we have a process of checks and balances just to make sure that everything's approved and every cent is accounted for. Not only so we can report back to the grant folks, but also to you and let you know the kind of good we're trying to do.
Thank you. Any questions or comments for Circuit Judge Chuck Clausen? I'll jump in and say just quickly, thank you for your leadership on that. It's from a servant's heart. I've seen it and witnessed it, so I just appreciate you. Thank you, Julian. Of course, Prosecutor Carol Cruz, there she is. And, of course, Sheriff's Department. Crime is a problem, and we can always just throw the book at folks, but I just appreciate the efforts to reduce recidivism, which costs everyone, not the least of which is the defendants. But I appreciate just the efforts to help people who've made a bad decision not just continue to run their lives. So we appreciate the efforts in everything from drug courts to just every approach to reduce recidivism and help people get back on track. We appreciate that. You know, we could continue to build jails continuously for the next 100 years, you know, and you know, sometimes that's just not the best approach. So we appreciate your efforts there.
Thanks, sir.
Judge, I was going to say, if I may, I just want to echo your words. I appreciate all the work that Judge Clausen's office has done to make this happen. And just hearing from it here, thank you to all of our county elected officials for assisting in that and making it happen. So I think everybody up here notices it, and we appreciate it. So thank you for all the work y'all have done.
Well, this has been 100% a team effort, I mean, from when it started. And Judge, definitely thank you. You've been available every time we've needed you. We even had to redo some things, and you jumped on that as well. To keep us on track. This is obviously for this year. One grant that we have is for 3 years. I know it was for four, but both these appropriations are obviously in here. We hope to be getting, we know we'll be getting a bigger money next year. And so as we kind of build this thing and find out where we stand and kind of the some of the assessments, that's one of the really thing I think is going to be very interesting. There's going to be community assessments to find out the different resources and things from housing, the counseling and treatments. We'll be getting that. I think that'll be useful even outside, you know, our drug court.
Well, I appreciate it. I don't think it has been said openly. I think everybody probably here understands huge funding win for the county. So I appreciate that on behalf of all the citizens. Just thank you. Anybody who's worked on it. It's a big win, and so, you know, we'll see the benefits, you know, for the rest of our lives for as fruits to this labor. Yeah. So,
plan is to come back about 6 months, let you know where we're at and what we've done. So,
yeah. Thank you again.
All right. Thank you very much. Any other questions? Thank you.
I see Justice Lyon reaching for the button.
I just had a question on Section 4, if there's someone that might be asked. Is that just for machinery or dispatch terminals, or is it just upgrades? Just curious.
I think that's actually terminals. I think that with the consolidation, that the city had a certain amount, the county had a certain amount, they just needed a few more of the actual terminals.
Okay. Thank you.
For sure. And the 911 consolidation, what a Sheriff Justice Shock, Chief Woolley could attest, you know, dispatch is a huge, it's one of those things that we expect to work, and a lot of people with a lot of expertise make it work, and it's not by accident. And for that transition, I'm really pleased with that transition. Want to commend the Sheriff's Department, certainly Administrator Higgins, who's not here, Director Sean Kennedy, City of Conway, it just goes on and on, Conway PD. Want to thank everybody. Really pleased behind the scenes to have watched that happen, and I just appreciate everybody. Thank you, Chief Woolley. Mm-hmm. Good question, good comment. Anything else? Any other discussion on the ordinance before the court? All right, it is an appropriation ordinance. We'll ask for a roll call vote, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Kendrick.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahoski.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Meeks.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Shock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Jordy.
Yes.
All right. Motion carries and the ordinance passes. Thanks so much. Next, we'll move to tab number 4. It's proposed ordinance 25-05.
Motion to approve proposed ordinance 25-05.
Second.
Okay, motion and second. Can we have the reading, please?
Proposed ordinance 25-05, sponsored by Justice Chris Kendrick, being acted by the Coroner Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an ordinance to reclassify two department titles and change in two positions within the prosecuting attorney's office and to declare an emergency.
Okay, Justice Kendrick, can you give us a brief overview?
Yes, sir. This is one of the ordinances that came before Personnel Committee and that was approved. It comes from our prosecutor's office, isn't it? And it's shifting existing funds, so this is not new money. It's not a new money request. It's money that's already been budgeted. But it's shifting the salaries around to match the levels of experience, I think, in the prosecutor's office. And at a high level, that's what it's doing. I know that question got asked, is this new money? And our justices are always good about keeping an eye on that thing, so I'll put it out there beforehand. So our prosecutor is here. She'd like to add anything to that.
Okay.
Ms. Cruz, our prosecuting attorney.
Thank you. I had a long-time employee leave, and so hired a relatively new person at a lower salary commensurate with her experience. So this is an opportunity to then move some existing money from that position that was vacated to the other trial assistant who's been with county government at a prosecutor's office for about 20 years, but is a local Faulkner County person that I really need to keep. So that's what this is.
Thank you so much. Any questions or comments, Justice Kendrick or prosecuting attorney? Justice Yardy.
Yeah, I have just a question about the emergency clause on here. Understanding that this is a person currently in the position and that money needs to be allocated, what is the urgency of this matter, if anyone can clarify?
Justice Kendrick or the prosecuting attorney, I will jump in, and I did not speak with either of you about this, but my guess as a department head would be that you don't want to lose her waiting on this to be read through consecutive months, and I'm just guessing.
Yeah, Judge, I'll jump in here. So traditionally, it's one of those things, so they can do it immediately, because if not, they either have to wait for the three readings, which takes 3 months, which in that time, potentially personnel could move, shift, or go find another job. Or we have to go through the procedure to waive those three readings within this court session. So this is the method that we chose to do. So that way she can implement these immediately.
And then I'll just add, honestly, if it is made an emergency ordinance, that elevates the threshold for passage. So that automatically makes it a two-thirds. If it's two-thirds threshold, so it makes it more difficult to pass because it's an emergency ordinance. And so the court will have to vote. Like I said, we have to have 9 votes in order for this to pass, just simply because it's an emergency ordinance. But good question. Further questions and comments? Justice Jordan.
I would like to move to amend the proposed ordinance to add a third section to further clarify the nature of the emergency. I would like to propose the following amendment. Section 3, in order to promote the efficiency of the prosecuting attorney's office and promote the retention of qualified staff, the adoption of this ordinance is declared to be an emergency, and this ordinance shall be in full force and effect immediately upon its passage and approval.
Okay, so that is a motion. Do we have a second? Do we have a second? Okay, unfortunately, the motion fails. All right. Any further discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Meeks.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Shaw.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Yorkie.
Yes.
Okay, so the motion carries. Proposed ordinance 25-06 passes. Tab number 5, proposed ordinance 25-06. This is with regard to a reclass and pay change. County clerk.
Make a motion to approve proposed ordinance 25-06.
Carol.
Second. Okay, motion and second. Can we have a reading,
please? Second, please.
Proposed Ordinance 25-06, sponsored by Justice Chris Kendrick, being acted by the Quorum Court, County of Faulkner, State of Arkansas. The ordinance being titled an ordinance to reclassify 2 department titles and change into 2 positions within the County Clerk's office and to declare an emergency.
Okay, motion second and reading. Could we, Justice Kendrick, could we have a brief overview?
Yes, sir. Very similar to the previous ordinance, this is another one that came through Personnel Committee. It's shifting existing funds. These are not a new money request, so it's just shifting those around to help out Ms. Gardner with our office. So, Gardner, would you like to add anything to that?
Pretty much what you said. I had the same. I had 2 employees leave, and I was able to replace them. One with a person with a master's degree, and then the other one with a longtime employee. I had a lot of employees in the county reach out, and I was able to pick one with 14 years experience, and I really didn't want her pay to go backwards coming from the office that she was in, because she brought a lot to my office. So it's just kind of leveling out the playing field for her and the new person that I brought on.
Other questions or comments?
Other questions or comments? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
Yes.
Hendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Lahotsky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Meeks.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Shock.
Yes.
Strain.
Yes.
Tyler.
Yes.
Yorkie.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. Proposed ordinance 25-06 passes. Next, we go to tab number 6, proposed ordinance 25-07, transfer of county property. And I believe this is Justice Coates sponsoring, Courts and Public Safety.
Yes, sir. I'd like to make a motion to put proposed ordinance 25-07 on the floor for discussion.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion. Second, we have a reading, please.
Proposed ordinance 25-07, being enacted by the Quorum Court, Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance to be entitled an ordinance to transfer express vote machines from the Faulkner County Clerk to Montgomery County and to declare an emergency.
Okay, questions or comments? Or actually, Justice Coates, do you mind giving us a brief overview?
Not at all. My understanding, and Ms. Darter can help me if I explain this wrong, but these are voting machines that we've been moving some things around so that we would have some more room. These are extra. We are not in need of these, but this Montgomery County is, and so that's why we're going to transfer them. This does not put us at a loss at all. We will still have plenty to go around. It would just give us a little bit more room while we're doing our renovations and also help out Montgomery County. Ms. Darter, is that?
Yes, ma'am, that is it. We still have an additional 50-plus machines. After the county, the general election, we prepare an additional 15-20 machines in case a machine goes out. We still have an additional 30 that we don't even LNA test or get prepared because we have plenty. The state decided how many we needed. They overestimated what we really needed for our county, and these were paid for by the state and transferred to us and not paid by county or county money.
All right. Thank you for the overview. Is any questions or comments? Justice Plasky.
Thank you, Judge. I had a plan for this, but I scrapped it. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to put the bottom line up front. I am hesitant about giving machines away, although Margaret says we have plenty. But what it makes me think is, and I railed about this a little bit in committee, when there's a huge line at the McGee Center, Can we get some more voting centers? Can we get some more voting centers? Can we expand the amount of space that we're using? Can we do something to decrease those lines? I know there's barriers to doing that. My request is let's work to overcome those barriers and expand voter access and make sure no one has to wait in line for an hour, even if it's on 4 p.m. on election day. Like, I just really want to use this as a platform to say that. If you look at City of Conway, at UCA's voting center used to be at their welcome center, but I would basically say, name me a voting center that lies west of Donaghy besides the McGee Center.
May I respond?
Yes. That's okay.
One of the problems is locations disappearing, and a lot of our locations were churches, and you know, we had Peace Lutheran, and they tore down part of their building and moved into the building we were actually using. So location becomes a problem. We are going to reach out with the city on the new construction that they have at the new community center where the pool is. That'll be a very good location. We will reach out to them. On the west side of town, we're very limited. We do want to put another location over there, but we haven't really come up with a good location other than maybe Woodland Heights. It's right on top of the McGee Center, but it still might be something we need to do, and we are discussing that. But we do have machines to add another site, even of the size of McGee Center. So we would not run short of letting these 10 machines, or 8 machines, I forgot how many it was, go.
And I know there are barriers, like I said, to getting more vote centers, but I just want to use this as an opportunity to push that and to say I really wish, because if there's any sort of money thing, I think that this court would definitely be willing to offer up more money to expand voter access. You know, it's just
But I'd also like to add that the McGee Center, we sent out 15 machines there.
Mm-hmm.
Almost never are all 15 of those machines in use at the same time. So the line is not always the machines.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's because the general election is such a long ballot, it takes people longer to vote those, and then that creates a little bit of a backup. But the machines are generally all that we can send to the locations that we send to.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yes. I know there are barriers.
All the time.
Yeah, I know. I know there are barriers. And I talked to my new election commissioner the other night about just doing what we can to overcome those barriers. So that's my argument on this ordinance. Thank you.
Justice Skinner?
Yeah, I do want to reiterate, I think that point is, I spent a lot of elections at the McGee Center that's in my district. It's in West Conway. It's the heaviest voting site that we have in Faulkner County, and you can go there during a general election on election day, and there's a line wrapped in the basketball court, and people pull up in the parking lot. They see it. Sometimes they get out and walk inside, and then they drive home, and they probably don't go vote. So it's a major issue. We have a lot of residents in West Conway, and frankly, with the amount of machines that we have, the facilities that we have throughout this town, there's no reason that people in West Conway should be going home and not getting to vote. And it's been a continual issue, and until we can address that, I don't think we need to be giving any voting machines away, so I'm not going to support this.
Just one.
This is just more of a procedural question. So these were 8 machines that were done by, given to us from the state, I guess via grant or of some sort. Is there any state oversight that we have to follow on just giving them away to another county, or?
No, the state would encourage us to give them away if we were not using them.
Okay, thank you.
I have a question. Did I hear you say that you have enough voting machines to expand to a new site in West Conway without closing down any of the other ones?
Yes, we have plenty of machines to open another site. The problem is locating another site. You know, we did have Grace Methodist Church, I believe, there on Hogan. We did have what was Trillium at the time. I don't know the new name. And they were across the street from each other. So we lost them as well, but we may be able to reach out to Woodland Heights and maybe use them for election day to take some pressure off of McGee. McGee also has a parking issue.
And how many extra units would you say, or could you say,
50. That
we have 50?
We will still have over 50 machines that we don't
really. How many do you put inside the McGee Center?
15 machines.
Is there not more space there?
Not in the room that we use. And we'd have to go out on the floor, which puts us down the side, and the lighting is bad. And so the room that we're in limits us to the 15, but it's a better lighting and better management of the voting if we go inside the room.
And what happens if we don't donate these units to Montgomery County?
They'll just sit back there. They're just going to be sitting and not being used, as they have been since we received them in 17. These machines have never been used.
Yeah, I just want to echo my colleague's sentiments in support of the voting center in West Conway. Couldn't agree more with him. And nothing wrong with donating these extra machines to Montgomery County, but I happen to agree with Justice Kendrick that, you know, until we see some actionable steps toward opening a new voting center in West Conway, I don't think I'm inclined to support either. No fault of anybody in this room, just as a position statement. Thank you.
Just Tom.
Yeah, I was actually going to bring this up myself. I agree with my cohorts here. I just believe that if we can give our people more of an opportunity to vote, I guess a little easier. And just because I'm big on voting, obviously, as we all are, because we're all here. So I know McGee has a parking center. I guess my question is, if us JPs can help in any way, to maybe contact churches. I mean, I don't know if that's a thing, but I certainly would stand in line to help with that. If it's something we can do to help draw more people to get have polling centers, I would love to jump in and help if I can. I don't know if that's a legal thing or what that would look like.
Justice Tyler, I would say we probably need to lean on the Election Commission for that. They're the ones that are responsible for seeking that out. And so lean on them. And I'm sure if they need help, or they'd be the ones that would be able to use your help in trying to solicit additional places.
That's why we have an attorney in the room.
Good discussion. Yes.
Ms. Daughter, could you tell us how many machines we have that are not used, that are not actively employed on a typical election day?
So out of the 50-plus that we have, 37 of them we have never used. So we would program 14 out of that 50 to be backups during election detection and call inside if a machine goes down. We generally send one extra to two extra, depending on the site, of more than what we think they need regardless. But we always have 10 to 14 as a backup in case any one goes down, or if they need more machines, then we can run a machine to them. We've had we have 37 that we've never programmed to go out, that's never left the building.
Are we still operating the mobile voting center that you had a while back?
Yes, we actually use a hand-carried machine that sits on tables that we can block off. But we do we do what we call roving at the Palmy Regional Hospital. That's the only location we're utilizing at this time.
And on average, how many voting machines are deployed in a typical voting center?
Generally, a minimum of 5. Like me, is early voting. Early voting, everybody gets 5 to 6 machines. And then on election day, McGee gets like 15. And the others will get anywhere from 10 down to 5.
Okay. Now, I know in the past we've had to close down voting centers out in the county. Have we ever had to close down voting centers because we couldn't get volunteers in the city?
We have closed down in the city, but it was because we lost the sites, like Peace Lutheran and Grace Baptist. But we haven't had to close down any sites in the city. We have had to cut back on some, and I don't think it affected anybody in the city because we needed poll sheriffs. We can generally get workers, but we need people that have some knowledge to run the poll sheriffs and the poll judges.
Is that difficult to do in the city to get people on manos?
This last year, we didn't have any difficulty with poll workers. We had plenty of people come out and offer to work, and we tried to work everyone that applied.
So it sounds like if we could open, I know it's maybe pie in the sky, but if we could open 3 new voting centers, we can employ all of those except your reserves and significantly lighten the load for lines at things.
Nobody really runs a line except the McGee Center. And the McGee Center people still have an option to drive not very far away. But the McGee Center would be one that we have continued to look at and trying to figure out a solution for the McGee Center to cut back the people that go there. Nobody else has the lines like that. And when I have a line during early voting, no line is more than 20 minutes. And most of the people enjoy being in the line because they're seeing friends that they haven't seen, and they generally tell us they enjoy being there. I know that sounds weird, but that's what people say. Oh, yeah.
I said that at the DMV before, too.
Yeah. No, I
for sure. I think Justice Lyon was next.
Well, I've already spoken.
There you go, Justice Jordan.
I have a question about the circumstances of transferring these to Montgomery County. Do they have a pressing need for these machines, or will these just become reserved?
Now, this is my understanding that it is a pressing need for them to be able to meet what they have. They didn't get enough machines, and they are a smaller, poorer county as well.
And then follow-up to that, if in the future we are able to open more polling locations, which I also fully support, how difficult or easy would it be for us to turn around and ask for more machines from other counties?
We're not going to have a need to ask for more machines. We're not going to employ 50-plus more machines. We don't have that kind of need. The need we have is McGee Center and solving the solution to that, and that's location. So if we can bring in another church, then we can do that. At the most, we put 15 machines there, and that would bring McGee down half the size.
How long ago?
Just Kendrick.
Yeah.
How long ago was it when, I know at one point the city would shut down the McGee Center and put those out on the basketball court. How long ago was that, and would that be feasible just to do on Election Day? I mean, I realize we don't necessarily have to do it for all of early voting, but Election Day is the surge. I've seen it every time I've been out there on Election Day. People do not go in and vote, and they leave. And because I'm out there talking to them, they don't always go drive to UCA or the library. Like, they go home, and they don't vote. So West Conway is where our issue is. So how long ago was that, and would that be a possibility again? Could we see if the city, would they shut it down for that day, put a ton of machines in there, and cycle people through and let them vote?
I'm sure we can communicate that with them. It does create a problem because you've got to run courts to all the machines. So it does create a problem of safety for people walking in and out around the machines. It can be done. It has been done in the past. Things are a little bit easier because we have the poll books now, and before when they were out there, they had real paper poll books when lighting was a bigger issue, because now we have the machines. So they could get by. We could add some lighting, but it could create some issues with laying everything down and getting all the proper stuff that we would need so they can safely get in and out of the machines without tripping over cords. But it could be talked about and dealt and looked at.
Just Smeeks.
Thank you, Judge. My question is because you, something sparked in me when you said that these machines have been sitting since 2017, which we're running 8 years now. What is the lifespan on these machines?
Well, the lifespan of the machines are probably 10 to 15 years, but the battery life on them is 5. And so they are about to, all of our machines are about to get an update on the battery life. So that will be replaced out before our next election.
And is that a cost?
Well, not maybe this school election, but before the next primary election.
And do we have to purchase these batteries as a cost to us?
It could be a cost to us the next time, but this time the Secretary of State's office has purchased the batteries for replacing all of our electronic express votes.
Thank you.
Ms. Lane?
This kind of piggybacks off of Justice Meek's question. Obviously, yeah, if we have these 8, and if not more, just sitting there collecting dust for 8 years, is there no technology or firmwares or anything? Do these ever get tested out just in case they have to be used? I mean, are we rotated out, or is it just...
Okay, so I misspoke then, because when they do come and upgrade the system inside on them, these do get upgraded at the same time. We don't ignore that part of them. So I did misspeak on that, and I apologize.
Good questions.
One last question for me, and for those who have. We mentioned storage space for these. Are they an encumbrance? Are they causing a problem now?
The biggest problem is we need the space. We are cramped over in the building that we have. We remodeled and shared out some more bar space over to extension office to help them. In the meantime, it caused us to break our office up a little bit, and we're tight. I just tell you, we're tight, and moving these machines around is one of the hardest parts of getting ready for an election for us.
One question, if I could, just to clarify for me, if we give these 8 machines away and we open another polling site the size of McGee Center, how many will we have in reserve at that point?
We would still have 30 machines in reserve.
Okay, thank you.
Justice Hoskin.
Thank you, Judge. Just one short comment. I just want to say, Margaret, I'm so proud of the elections we run in Faulkner County. You run a very tight ship. You do a fantastic job. I don't think anywhere else does elections better. I think this is, to me, this is the only thing I have to gripe about. So I got you.
Doing good.
Any other comments?
Do you guys want to table this until we can have a chance to discuss this with the election commission?
Second.
I can speak for the election commission if you like.
I think that we might need to get our thoughts together.
I think we would need an election commissioner.
All right. Is that a motion to table?
Yes, sir.
And a motion.
It was
And we've got a second.
Just Pearson, second.
Motion and second. Any discussion on motion to table?
Would you like to invite the election commissioner during this discussion?
We don't have an election commissioner.
Former.
Well, I was going to say,
Chair.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of discussion on the motion. I think I'll just because this went through courts and public safety, would you be amenable to having the discussion in courts and public safety committee with our election commissioners?
If I may be forthcoming, yes, I don't mind at all having a conversation in courts and public safety, but I also hate to waste our time and our effort when we have been in one hand, we're telling Ms. Starter what a great job she's doing running our elections and using her judgment to run those elections, and then in the other hand, we're second-guessing what she's telling us, that we have plenty of machines and they're not needed. Is an additional voting center needed? Absolutely. I think we've made that point very clear. But are these additional machines needed, and is it going to do us any good to hold on to them for another month? My personal opinion is no. I feel like if we trust what Ms. Starter is telling us, we have plenty of machines. Everything has run smoothly up until now. We've made our point that another voting center is absolutely necessary, and all of us can move forward in contacting the election commission and letting them know that. But that's where I stand. I don't mind at all having the conversation and then asking the questions in courts and public safety, but at the same time, I hate to spend any more time on something that I feel like it's already been discussed.
Further discussion on the motion of whether or not to table.
I would agree with everything Justice Cushing said.
Any further discussion?
Margaret, we have given other counties voting machines in the past, correct?
Correct.
Yeah, I remember doing this several times. It has impacted capacity. We have a capacity issue to a location that we need. From churches' perspectives, it's hard to get them to come on board because you're going to tie them up, especially if they're doing early voting. They need to do a funeral during that time. And a lot of times when we do our voting, they feed families and stuff. So it kind of provides a roadblock for them at times. So maybe really difficult to get churches on board in West Conway because of those reasons. So, and the additional security that they need to house those machines. So. Okay, further
discussion on whether to table, on the motion to table. All right, so majority, Councilor. All right, we better go ahead and roll call. Vote. But this will be a vote on whether or not to table. A yes or aye vote will table the proposed ordinance.
Yes, Your Honor. Allison.
Yes.
Coates.
No.
Hendricks.
Yes.
Knight.
No.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Lyon.
Yes.
Meeks.
No.
Pearson.
Yes.
Shock.
No.
Strain. Tyler?
Yes.
Doherty? No. 5 no's. 6 yeses.
Okay, the motion table fails 5-6, and so we are back to the original motion in favor of the proposed ordinance.
I'm sorry, Judge. Well, what I thought she said 6 yeses and 5 no's.
It's 6 yeses, 5 no's, 7's needed.
I got you. Okay, thank you, sir.
That's correct. It'd be a simple majority of the full quorum would take 7. Yes, that's a motion. Thank you, Counselor. Okay, so the motion to table fails. Again, just for clarity, for anyone watching at home or whatever, a majority vote is needed on most motions. A majority of the number of JPs, which is 13, not the the majority of JPs present. That's my opinion. That's your opinion, Counselor. Yes. So, all humor aside, we are back to the original motion in favor of proposed ordinance 25-07. Any further discussion? All right, roll call vote, please. And the threshold is 2/3 on this. Is that correct? Driven by a specific statute?
Yes, sir.
So the threshold is not 7, the threshold is 9. Roll call vote, please.
Yes, Sean. Allison?
No.
Coates?
Yes.
Hendricks?
No.
Knight?
Yes.
Lahosky?
No.
Lyon?
Yes.
Meeks?
Yes.
Pearson?
No.
Schott?
Yes.
Strain?
Yes.
Tyler?
No.
Jordy?
Yes.
Seven yeses. That falls short of the 2/3.
Point of order or clarification?
Sure.
Judge, if we passed it without the emergency clause, it would only require 7. Is that correct?
That's incorrect, Counsel.
The statute for transferring property specifically says it requires a 2/3 vote. So regardless of whether it's an emergency or not.
Thank you.
Good question. Always free to call a point of order and ask a question, procedural question, or otherwise. So, all right, so that threshold was 2/3 or 9 votes of our quorum court, and it did not get 9, so that motion fails, and ordinance does not pass. Judge, if I may. Justice
Coates? I will add this discussion in our agenda for courts of public safety.
All right, moving along back to our agenda, we have appointments. And so we've got three of them, beginning with the coroner. Faulkner County is one of the two counties in the state of Arkansas that does not have an elected coroner. It's appointed coroner, works the pleasure of the county judge. Appointment is done by the county judge and affirmed by the coroner court. I have reappointed our wonderful coroner, Jessica Freeman, and I seek your affirmation of that appointment. What's your pleasure?
Judge, move to affirm the appointment of Ms. Freeman.
Second.
Okay, motion second. Any questions or comments? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thanks so much, Jessica. Appreciate all of you and the organization. Next appointment is to the Public Facilities Board. Greg Dell, longtime member and well-respected Chief Operating Officer of Collin Group, actually served on that Public Facilities Board. He retired from Collin Corp and from his position, unrelatedly, his position on the Public Facilities Board, left the vacancy. We advertised for applicants for that appointment. We did receive multiple. Daniel Hollinger is who I have appointed. He is a well-respected civil engineer, does work for municipalities around, a wonderful gentleman. Literally everyone I talk to really thinks of him with high regard, and that's who I've appointed. I'm seeking your affirmation of that appointment.
Judge, motion to approve Mr. Hollinger's appointment to the Public Facilities Board.
Second. Okay, motion and second. Any discussion? All right, all in favor of the appointment of Mr. Hollinger, indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Mr. Hollinger is appointed as well. And next we have two vacancies on the Hilltop Fire Department Board. There were two applicants, and they come highly recommended not only by the fire department there, but also by our OEM director and all the other traps that I ran. I appreciate it. I've appointed Glenn Spears and Jason Luke to fill those vacancies. And I seek your affirmation of both of those.
Second.
Motion and second. Any comments? All in favor indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And I want to thank both those gentlemen for serving on that board and their service in the fire. I just appreciate both of them. I happen to know one of them, and I appreciate them both. Next, we move to the announcements. I'm not aware of any other announcements that have already been made. Any announcements from the court or from the floor, from the audience? Okay, moving right along, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? We are adjourned. Oh, and by the way, I would make a comment off the cuff. I don't know if I've done this, but our county clerk was actually